Good morning.
Well, I get the great honor of introducing Brother Bobber to everybody and how I got to meet him. So I'd like to start by reading a scripture, and it's from James 5:15. And it says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being. Even as we are, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." And ultimately, a thanks to the church for praying for me, which brought me to Teen Challenge. And though I was there shortly, God rescued me, and I got to meet Brother Bobber. And I have many stories of Brother Bobber, but the first time was he let me in to get my laundry. And if you have other stories, I'd be glad to tell them, but Brother Bobber, it's yours.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I am very grateful to the Lord being here with you all this morning. It's such a great honor to be with brothers and sisters. Amen. Maybe we have different countries, we have different backgrounds, different languages, but what a great privilege we Christians have. We can have different backgrounds, but we have the same Lord, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we have same Holy Spirit living inside of us. And Bible says in the letter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So he gives us the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Wherever, Brother Dave, you are walking, God's house is walking. Amen. If we are in the store, in the Walmart, or Super One, or wherever, God's house is there because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Wow, what a privileged church we have. Amen. I'm so grateful to the Lord. What a faithful Father we have in heaven. Let's pray first, and then I will get into the words. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we all, brothers and sisters, we are here to testify your goodness, your love and your mercy, Lord. Bible says that your compassion and your mercy is fresh every morning, Lord. What a good daddy you are to us. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross. He took our sins on himself. He took our death on himself. And he died on the cross. And he said, "It's finished all." Thank you, Lord. And he is not still dead. He's risen from the dead. And his grave is empty. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, we come before you, Lord. Please speak to us today. Nourish our souls, minds, and spirits, Lord, today. We are here in your presence, Lord. Let your words revive our minds. Let your fire come in our bellies, Lord, today, and set us on revival, Lord, today. Thank you so much, Father, for this church, for Pastor Andrew, and for Brother Jeff, Lord, for Brother Joshua. Thank you for this wonderful, beautiful connection which is from you, Lord. We praise you. We kiss your feet, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these prayers. Amen. So, Brother Joshua, thank you so much again for having me. And Brother Jeff, thank you. And please give my thanks and greetings to Pastor Andrew as well. I'm from Pakistan, and I've been in America since almost 4 years, right, Hannah? So my wife is here and two children. God is so good, amen? God is so faithful. I don't know where I would be without God. So I came here 4 years ago, and I'm a student of English, and if I speak something wrong, like a wrong word or something, please forgive me. But I know that your English is good and you can get me, what I'm saying, or you can make it right, even my broken English. So glory to God for that. My topic is this today, that being thankful to God, amen? Be thankful to God. And it's not once a year, no. For Christian, for us, being thankful to God, it should be the daily basis thing, amen? Our mouth should be full with the psalms and hymns and songs to God every morning. Brother Joshua, he every morning sent me 4-3 songs. And I love that. Thank you, brother. Keep doing that. We should be filled with the thanksgiving every morning. Not once in a year. Or not once in a week on Sunday. Every day, sing hymns and songs and thanksgiving to God. He deserves it. Amen? He deserves that. I want to read this scripture first, and then I want to share something also. Isaiah, book of Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse 21. It says, Isaiah 43, chapter 43 and verse 21. It says, "This people I have formed for myself." Amen. God is talking to Isaiah. And what God is saying to him, God said, "These people I have formed. I am the maker of these people." Amen, church? Remember, God is the creator. He is the one who created us. He is the one who made us. We are not made by China or Pakistan or America. No, we are made by Jehovah God. Amen, church? Maybe we have different skins, different colors, different languages, but we have same creator. His name is Jehovah God, faithful daddy in heaven. Hallelujah. We are made. Don't ever regret that I'm not beautiful. I have this, I have that. Don't lack in yourself. You are beautiful. You are made by God. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah means praise Jehovah God. Amen. So you can say hallelujah if you want to. I like that. Pakistani church is a little bit crazy. They are super loud and you are getting that. I'm sorry for that. But I'm just excited. God saved me from Hinduism. Amen. We were worshiping more than 36,000 gods. And none was true from them. Isn't it fool? We were fool people. We didn't know that we are made by Jehovah God. My ancestors, they were worshipping Hindu gods, and those Hindu gods are more than 36,000. Can you imagine? And sacrifices to them, killing animals in front of them, bringing money to them, and then some tribes in Hindus, they walk on fire to forgive their sins. Can you imagine? That fool we were. We didn't know that this revelation that we are made by the God of Bible. That's why I have reason to shout. I have reason to be excited and loud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I know that, oh, I'm made by Jehovah God, who is sitting on the throne with full authority in heaven. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah. So I have reason to praise him. I have reason to give him thanks and praise him every day. It says that I am the one who is maker of people. Amen. American missionaries, they went in Pakistan, in our village. I love America and American missionaries. I have big respect in my heart. They were committed people with the Lord. They took call of God serious on their life. They were not playing with the call of God. No. Mr. Ranson from America, he went in our village in Pakistan. No good medical, no clean water, no transportation. At that time, my dad, when he was alive, no, he's in heaven with the Lord. He told me that time people travel on donkeys, camels. Can you imagine American missionary left here, luxury life, and went there, travel on donkeys? I can't imagine. But why he went there? Because he know I am made by Jehovah God, and I am for him. He called me. Amen? So he start proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in Pakistan. And in that way, my ancestors, they got saved. And then my dad, he showed up in his one of his meeting. My dad, he makes lots of excuses. Whenever Mr. Ranson will come and meet him, and he will say to him that, hey, you should come to me in my meeting. I will preach, I will pray for you. And my dad will say that, no, I'm so busy. So one day Mr. Ranson said, okay, what time you can be available? I am not busy. I will come for one sheep even. Amen? Can you see the compassion? Wow. So my dad threw a big excuse. He said that maybe middle at night, 2 a.m. He thought that this missionary will leave me alone now. But this missionary has the Holy Spirit. He said, okay, let's do that, 2 a.m. I will be there for one soul. He showed up there, and lots of other people from our village, they also came, and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, church. He said that someone died for you on the cross. You don't have to pay for your sin anymore. Only you need to believe. You have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be forgiven. And my dad, he got that revelation, and Holy Spirit came on him, and he got baptized in Holy Spirit. Since that day, he became the follower of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And praise God, my dad, when he was believing half and half, little bit in Christ, little bit in Hindus, he did not marry at that time. Praise God. So he was a teenager when he got saved. Then he got married with a Christian woman, and then they have me. So I was born in a Christian family. Including me, we are 7 siblings. And my wife's side also, they are 7 siblings. So I am so grateful to the Lord every day that he saved us. and we have true revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We have reason to be thankful. So this says, this people I have formed for myself. God made us for himself. We are God's people. Doesn't matter that we are living in luxury life and this and that, and we have so many facilities. We have expensive cars, expensive houses, money, and everything. No, don't let your heart set on that. No. Your hope is Jehovah God. Our home is in heaven. Our actual house is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Our citizen, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 and 20 and 21, it says, you don't know that your citizenship is in heaven. Amen, church? We are not Americans. We are not Pakistanis. Due to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, we are heavenly people. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go to heaven? We will be more alive than ever in heaven. We will live with apostles, with prophets, and more than that, we will live with our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. He will be there. Amen, church? We can see him there. We can praise him in front of his glorious throne. Second part of this verse says that they shall declare my praise. Amen. That is the reason that God made us, church. We are made to declare his. You can answer yes. We are made to declare his praise. That's what scripture is saying. Amen. This is a message for every age of person. I'm speaking with youngsters also. I'm speaking with kids also. My older brothers and sisters also. When we are young, teenager, there is bitterness always here. We are blaming our parents. We are blaming our friends. We are blaming our this, that. Complain. Let me tell you, youngsters, listen. This is a medicine. If you are being thankful and praising God, this is a medicine to the bitter heart. It will be like an injection to bitterness. Amen? And it will cast out your bitterness. And you will feel so close to God. He will give you life. Then blames will not come from this mouth. Praise will come from this mouth. Amen? Same for everyone. I was blaming so much this and that and that and that. One night at Teen Challenge, when I start working there, God spoke to me. I was working overnights, doing rounds at night. People were sleeping. I'm just making sure that everyone is on their beds and checking and just. At night, I was bitter. I said, God, why you brought me from Pakistan to America? My ministry is getting dead here. I was used to do a lot of ministry in Pakistan. I came here and I was thinking that my mind was this, that America is super Christian country. Really, I'm so sorry, I have to speak truth. I never heard that man can get married with man. When I came here, that was just so much broken to me. I said, God, I came here. I thought that I'm going to be so filled with the Holy Spirit on this land. But it was the most dry season in my life when I came here. And I was struggling with language also, but very broken English and like, it was just hard. I said, maybe my ministry is gone now. I can't minister anymore. But you know what? God, he spoke to me. How many of you believe that the God of Bible still speaks? Yes. Amen? Yes. We don't have any doubt. Our God, he speaks still. Bible says, the book of Hebrew, chapter 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God. It's not that he spoke with Moses and he said, I can't speak anymore. No, Bible says he's the same God. Amen, church? Amen. So he spoke to me that night. He said, Babar, don't be worried. He showed me this revelation that I am sitting on the throne. Hallelujah. And he said, if I am on the throne, everything is in my control. I rules. I'm not weak God. And I'm also not nervous like you are. God spoke to me. He made it very clear. These words, they start shifting in my heart. Something start happening in my heart, in my mind. And all of a sudden, the giant of being unthankful complains. It start getting out. I start getting delivered from them. Amen? So just imagine, if our God, if our daddy is sitting on the throne, should we be worried? He got everything. He is the creator of heaven and earth. Amen? Amen. God said, maybe this season is dry to you, but this is a preparation. I am preparing you for something. You can rely on me. I am trustworthy God. So that revelation start changing my heart. So that day I bowed on, I kneeled on, I went on my knees when I heard him. And I said, Holy Spirit, forgive me. And Lord, please fill this mouth with psalms and hymns and songs. Amen, church? And all of a sudden, like a fresh fountain, songs and thanksgiveness begins to come out from me. Hallelujah. Our God is still God of miracles. So he formed us to give him praise. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and from verse 16 to 19. It says, rejoice always without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Amen. In how many things? Everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I was studying other translations also. In one translation, it says that in all circumstances, in everything, give thanks to God. Amen, church. Even though we are going through hard season, we are going through really dry season, we are going through deep down pain, which is really not bearable even. We can't stand in that pain. Bible says, give thanks in that pain also. Amen. In all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ for you. Many times we are confused that what is the will of God for my life? What he has for me? What is the purpose of God? One of will of God for your life is this, to be thankful to God. Amen? This is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Amen? We can be thankful to God. I remember one brother from Pakistan. He got saved and he would be over 50. And he got saved and was super happy, excited, glowing with the Holy Spirit. His cup was overflowing and he went to streets, very thankful to God, very grateful that I am saved. I have the revelation of Jesus Christ. Going down and preaching the gospel, telling people, oh, Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior. He's the King of Kings. Only he can give you life. And you know what? Preaching the gospel in Pakistan is illegal. They can cut your throat. They can shoot you in head and nothing can happen. They can tell that he was preaching the gospel and this is not legal here. They can put you in jail and after that they can hang you up. That's what they do there. They can burn you alive. These cases happened. The persecution fluctuate. Praise God that American church has freedom. So that's why please take advantage from this freedom. Go and preach the gospel out there. Hallelujah. This word needs gospel. Nothing else can save this word. Not money, not gold, not silver, not car, not Bangalore. No, only the gospel of Jesus Christ can save this lost word. Amen, church? It's our job to go out and preach the gospel. So that brother was preaching and telling them, and all of a sudden, lots of Muslim priests, you know, they have big beards, long beard, and the priest of Muslims, they surrounded him. They said, hey, what are you doing? Why you are preaching? He was so thankful to God. He don't have even fear of death. He was keep telling them. He said, I'm so thankful that God saved me and I have the Holy Spirit in me. They start threatening him. They punched him. They slapped him. And one of them, he got his gun and he said that, are you ready? You need to shut your mouth or accept Muhammad, our prophet or whatever. He said, no, I have the joy of the Lord. I am not scared of your gun or bullet or anything. He answered them really great, which changed them. Like, I don't know if their really heart moves or not, but he answered them really boldly. He said that your bullet and my aeroplane into heaven. He said, your bullet is not that fast. My aeroplane is more faster than your bullet. So joy and being thankful to the Lord. We have every reason, church. Amen. We have every reason to be grateful to the Lord. The book of Habakkuk, Old Testament, the minor prophets, Habakkuk, chapter 3, from verse 17 to 19. This is a little song of Habakkuk, hymn by Habakkuk. It says, if you are there, I want to read it. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. Can you see that whole dry season he's going through? He's going through a disaster. And the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. In this all disaster, when there is not field, there is not fruit, there is all big loss he's going through. Verse 18 says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. After this all loss, after this all big disaster, after this desolation season, he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Hallelujah, church. He said, it doesn't matter that I got big loss. It doesn't matter that there is not food, there is not fruit, there is not plenty. That is, my possessions are not the source of my joy. Lord is the source of my joy. Hallelujah. Lord is the source of my strength. And he said, I'm happy that God is my salvation. We need to follow these scriptures, amen? and be thankful. And we need to sing these songs and hymns like Habakkuk in our dry seasons. They are not going to last forever. Amen, church? God will do something. Shift will start happening there. They will not last forever. No. Our God, He is sitting on the throne. How many of you knows Job, the book of Job? I love his story. I love that book. The book of Job, chapter 1 and first 3 verses, I want to read. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless. Can you imagine blameless? And upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. Can you see his richness and possession and how blessed he was? Not just that, he feared God. Amen? And he shunned evil away. He loves God. He was upright to God. Blameless man. But all of a sudden, the massive disaster took place into his possessions. 7,000 sheep died, 3,000 camels died, 500 yoke of oxen, they died, and 500 donkeys died, and very sorrowful news he heard at the end. All of a sudden, disaster started coming in his house. Someone came and he told him that, hey Job, your 7 sons and 3 daughters, they also died. Can you imagine 10 funerals from one house? I was so shocked. I can't really imagine that. 10 funerals from one house. One day. After this all disaster, what Job did? Chapter 1, Job chapter 1, 20, verse 20th and 21 and 22nd. It says, then Job arose when he heard that all sad news. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head. That was a sign of grief, shaving head. And he fell to the ground and worshipped God. Hallelujah, church. After this big, sad news that your 7 sons and 3 daughters, they are also died. He fell on his knees and Bible says he worshipped God. He's celebrating Thanksgiving. It's hard. But let me tell you, we can give thanks to God in pain. We can do that. And if we do that, God is there. We will feel. There is names of God in Hebrews. One of them, I love that name, Jehovah Shammah, which means Lord is there. God is there for us always. Amen. Then another name, Jehovah Jireh, the best provider. Amen. If we are being thankful to God, He is watching over us. He will send angels. He will send people. He will make connections. Brother Dave and Brother Joshua, we were struggling with the car situation. And our car was broken and our family's grown. Now we have a daughter also, 6 months old daughter and 3 years old son. We need something big and reliable. So we were praying, and at night, one night, God spoke to me through dream. I saw that someone is giving me keys of a car, and he said that God laid on my heart for you, to give you this. And right after 1 month after that dream, Brother Joshua, he called me and he said that we want to visit you guys. I have something for you. And he came, and he and Brother Dave, they gave me the keys of that van. So that was a painful season. But being thankful to God, it was not easy to give thanks to God in that season. But I was relying, I said, God, your name is Jehovah Jireh. And my wife, one day she said something, and I was touched by that. She said he was not going to call himself Jireh if he is not the best provider. He would not call himself. God is not a liar. Amen, church? So, like Job, in your disasters, be thankful to God. Worship God in those places. Hallelujah. And he will change things for us. He is good daddy. I have other scriptures also, but I want to be open for the last. If you guys have any question about my ministry, about Pakistan. But Thanksgiving will bring you miracles. Amen, church. I can write it down for you. When you are going through really hard, someone is really discouraging you, someone is being really pain for you, and you are crying alone, and nobody sees your tears, but there is a daddy in heaven. He sees your tears. Psalm 56, I think so, verse 8, it says that he collects our tears in the bottle. Can you imagine how careful he is for your tears? He don't let your tears be wasted. He will collect them. He cares for your tears. He is a reliable God. Look up to him for miracles. He is still the same God. What happened when Lazarus died? The Gospel of John, chapter 11, it says that when Lazarus died, Jesus went on his grave and he told them to remove the stone. And they removed that stone. And what Jesus did? He looked up to heaven and he said, thank you, Father, you always hear me. Amen. He did not start praying for that. Lazarus, wake up right now in the name of Jesus Christ. He gave thanks to God. Amen, church. And then he said, Lazarus, come out. And dead Lazarus, who was dead since 4 days, he came out with coffin. Hallelujah. Being thankful to God, it will bring miracles in our lives. So many miracles are stopped because we are not being thankful to God. It's simple. We are so complaining, speaking negative so much, letting devil make his way, getting mad about things, getting angry, bitter. Let me tell you that bitterness and complaints, it will lead us nowhere. We can't reach anywhere. Like Israelites, book of Exodus, complaining about water, complaining about food, complaining about that Moses is gone too much, let's make another God here. Like so many complaints, and many of them died in the journey of desert. They died. They were not able to make anywhere. We need to fight this spiritual battle. We need to be aware that we are in spiritual warfare. Don't give chance to devil. Tell him, no, not today. You can poke me as much as you want, but I am going to worship my God who is sitting on the throne with full authority. Hallelujah, church. Glory to God. So be thankful to God. Amen. I heard that I love this church. Praise God. Brother was asking if there are any prayer requests, and more than prayer requests, there were praise report. people were saying, no, I just, it's not prayer request, but I want to just thank God for, praise God. I love that attitude. Thank you so much for being thankful to God. I'm praying for this church since a couple days. And you know, the book of Acts chapter 4, it says that in early church, they have a great grace upon them, you know. I'm praying for this church at night, and couple times I heard God whispering to me that I had a great grace on this church. Hallelujah. God give me prophetic words for this church. Keep it up, my brothers and sisters. Our actual home is in heaven. Hallelujah. And I don't have any doubt that you guys are going to hear from God, my faithful and good servant in heaven. Amen to that. So there is a one video behind. Sister, if you can please play that. We work in desert in Pakistan. I'm working there since 2016. I went in Bible college from 2015 to 2017 for 3 years in Pakistan. So it has 1 minute. Just. So it has a... I was asking God in Bible college that, God, what is the purpose you have for my life? Why I came in Bible college? So I had encounter first time with the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw glory, Shekinah, glory of Jesus Christ. And he spoke to me, go to this desert, Tharparkar. And I was that ignorant, I don't know that this desert is even in Pakistan. I was that ignorant. But that night, God, he made me aware that go to this Tharparkar desert. It's by India. It's a huge, massive desert. People are dying without food. People are dying without water. Kids are dying. There are many orphan kids over there. We want to work and we want to serve. Since 2016, me and my team, we are going there, bringing them groceries, food, and whatever we could do for them. We are doing things since 2016. But please keep praying. And it's a big region of Hindus. And I have a big compassion for Hindus because God saved my generations from Hinduism. So I want to be a testimony to them. I'm a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to share them how God saved me. Yeah. This is a desert and we are working there. And moving back to Pakistan in 2027 by the grace of God. So we need lots of prayers from you. We want to raise local disciples there, missionaries over there. Pakistan needs gospel. And I hope that definitely God, he's going to open up doors, new doors for that. We want to have a food center over there and discipleship school. We don't have any building there yet. And also we need transportation definitely. And we want to have a place when people will get converted, that they can have a jobs in Christian place. We want to have a agricultural, which cost a lot, I don't know, but again, Jehovah Jireh, amen. So he knows what he's doing and he is on the throne. So please keep us in your prayers. Any question or, yes, brother.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you, brother. Thanks for having me.
Yes, please.
It is dangerous. It's still dangerous to preaching the gospel and telling them there's a lots of checkposts before you go. Checkposts?
Okay.
Yeah. Like military, they will check you and like that stuff. But we get permission. But they did not let us go more further than this. Because my wife, she's foreigner. She's from America. So they are scared that something should not bad happen with Americans. If it happened, they can be in a big trouble. So I was getting lots of calls from agencies and FBI people, and they were calling me and telling me that you need to leave this place. If you don't, we know where you are. We can come and we will arrest you then. So I was just telling them, you know, I'm just with my family and we are visiting just. They said, we know that, but you need to leave this place. So they are kind of strict. It is, yeah, restricted. So that's why we want to bring these people in discipleship school in a safe place, like wherever we can have, and we can disciple them underground and send them back.
And then I have one more.
Yes.
So you said you were wondering why God brought you here to America. So what? How did you? What happened that you came to America?
Yeah, I came here to get married. I came here to get married. So, Hannah, do you want to come here?
But you had already met your wife.
Yeah. So, this is another testimony, and I want to really give this challenge to my young brothers and sisters who are not married yet. Keep looking up to God. Ask Him for your spouse. Ask Him for your spouse. So, I came to marry this beautiful woman. I came here in 2021 in December. So we have 18 days to get married, and then we got married, and God blessed us after marriage with this blessing. So, and then 6 months old, Genesis, Grace, Azariah. But I believe that God, He brought me here with the purpose, with the plan, that I can have lots of connections with brothers and sisters here, and I can learn about Hannah's culture, about the background here, and God has something here. I have satisfaction in my heart for that.
And I think whether or not he realizes it, he's a missionary to us too. We need him here. He's been very good at just sharing his testimonies through a different perspective. And a lot of the times I think it helps us Americans see God in a different way, because let's just face it, we can be really comfortable here, and we don't always see what God is doing, but when we get testimonies from another perspective, sometimes it helps us, I think. So,
yeah. Yes, please.
How did you come to know about each other? Like, how did you meet?
So when I was in, I got born again when I was 16, and I got born again into a house church that had a school of ministry. And when I was going through that school of ministry, they were telling us to pray about our vision and why God, like, it's great that we get saved, but we should ask God why we got saved. Like, what's the purpose that He has for our life? And so I took that seriously, and I went into prayer, and God showed me a vision of a map, and He told me that I was going to be in ministry near India, but not India. And I freaked out because I didn't want to be a missionary. But that was God's plan for my life. And so I started crying about it, and not happy tears. I was really worried because I didn't know how something like that could happen. I was one of those girls that was born in America, was going to live in America, was going to die in America, you know. And it was kind of to the point where the senior pastor of my church, he called me into his office, and he said, "You know, Hannah, like, God works through relationships. So if you really are going to be a missionary, God's not just going to pick you up from America and drop you off in Asia. Like, He's going to bring people into your life, and He's going to work. You know, He's going to direct your steps and bring you to where He wants you to go." And so it was kind of a relief for me, because I was like, "Oh, good. I don't know anybody from any other country, so maybe that was just my own thought, and God doesn't actually want me to be a missionary." So I honestly kind of forgot about it. And up in Duluth, we have this homeless outreach called the Duluth Harbor Mission. And I was volunteering there, and I happened to meet this girl from Pakistan. And I worked the morning shift, she worked the evening shift, and so when there was a change of shifts, there was about a half hour where we could kind of, like, talk to one another and whatnot. And since becoming a Christian, I had heard about church persecution, and that's not really something that we face here. So I asked her what her experience was on going through went through church persecution, and she was just able to tell me about it. And so she ended up inviting me over to her house for Easter. And I ended up becoming really, really good friends with this lady. Like, really good friends with this lady. And I had completely forgotten about being a missionary. I had completely forgotten about all the things that God showed me in prayer, because I was honestly scared of it. And she told me, I was at her house for Easter, and I was like, "Well, Ghazala, where are you from again?" She's like, "Oh, Pakistan." And I pull out my phone to check where Pakistan is, because I didn't know. And sure enough, it's right next to India. And so I've got that picture in the back of my mind, and I'm just like, huh, you know. But to make a long story short, because there's obviously so much more detail that I could get into, but I won't. She was actually an attendee at Babar's church back in Pakistan. So Babar was the assistant pastor of a church over in Pakistan. She attended there. And one day I was over at her house, and she had been talking to Babar that week. Babar was sharing about Thir Parker stuff and just asking if, was just sharing his vision for the plans that he has in the future for those people, and asking her if she would please pray, because they have a lot of things that they'd like to do over there. And so I went over to her house, and she had showed me the pictures and of his ministry, and I was already planning to go on a missions trip with her that fall so she could go visit her family. I was gonna go with her, and she pulls out these pictures, and she's like, "Hey, you know, look at these, there's these people in the desert, and they don't really have much," and it just like gripped my heart, and I was like, "Man, when we go to Pakistan, is it okay if we go there? Because I would love to do some food distribution. I'd love to give these babies some clothes. You know, I'd love to just, you know, be involved in caring for them and everything." And she's like, "Oh yeah, sure, that would be great. That'd be great, you know." And so I go home, and I come back the next day, and she pulls out the same pictures that she had pulled out a couple days before. But instead of asking me if I want to be involved with the ministry, she's pointing at the guy who's leading these trips, and she's like, "Do you want to get married to him?" I was like, "What? How did we end up here?" I was like, "No, I don't. I don't know who that is. I'm like, what's even his name?" She's like, "Babar." I said, "Barber?" She's like, "Babar." I was like, "What? You know, I've never even heard that before." And so, well, it turns out the day that I wasn't there, Babar had called her, and he said that, mind you, this was very inappropriate, because in Pakistan, they keep the genders completely separate. So there's no conversing about marriage or anything related between the opposite sex. And so he called Ghazala and was like, "Hey, sister, I'm really embarrassed, but God is putting it on my heart that I have to share this with you. I had a dream in 2017, which, by the way, is when God called me to be a missionary. And he's like, I was working in the desert. In this dream, I was working in the desert, and there was a white girl working with me. And in the dream, I asked God who this white girl was. And God said to me that it's my wife, or it's your wife. And if I can bring a wife for Isaac, I can bring a wife. If I can bring Rebecca for Isaac, I can bring a white girl for you." Because over in Pakistan, they don't get married to foreigners.
I was doubting. I said, "I don't know any white person." From maybe God, it's my head thought or something, but God made it very clear. He said, "If I can bring Rebecca for Isaac, I am the same God."
So I mean, he still has the journal and the whole dream written out from 2017 when he first had the dream. And so she told me that, and I was like, "Well, I gotta pray about it. Like, I can't just go get married to some random dude from Pakistan." Can't do that. And trying to explain that to my pastor and my family and my, like, it's just, no, it's not gonna work. And so I went into prayer and fasting, and God just confirmed it through so many different things. And and ultimately it was my friend and I were going into my house, and she had asked me, I was just telling her, we always talk about the differences between Pakistan and America, right? Because we're curious about each other. And I had told her, "You know, I just think it's kind of strange, you know, by the time, like, were in high school and we're graduating. We're only like 18 years old, and everybody just expects us to want to know what we want to do for the rest of our whole life. Like, how are we supposed to know that at such a young age? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, that's really interesting. And she's like, what did you want to do? And I was like, well, you know, I've never really had much of an interest in a career, but I've always just wanted to be a mother and a wife. Like, that's just been my heart's desire. But God called me to be a missionary a long time ago, and then it all just came back like a flood, and I was like, okay, Lord, you know, if this is how it's going to happen, I can have both. You know, I'm a mother of these beautiful children, the greatest blessing of my life, and the wife of this great guy. I'm kind of biased, though, and so... yeah, so that's the plan. We're going to move, God willing, in spring of 2027 and go be missionaries in Pakistan. And I'm so excited. I haven't seen this video in a long time, and my heart just misses these people. These people are beautiful people. And so I'm excited to go back and spend time with them. Yeah.
Robert, could you tell them about the first missionary and the property that you purchased?
Yeah. Mr. Ranson, he went in our village, and I was not born there, but my dad, he explained it to me, that when he start preaching the gospel, then he starts seeing that people, they don't have any shelter to live. If they will go back in their own people, they will again become Hindus. So he start praying that, God, I need to have a shelter for them. So then he bought a big place, lots of acres of land, and he did a boundary around it, like two rooms and like little houses. And my dad also got one of that. And that village is, the village people, they honor that missionary, and they give the name to that village, the village of Mr. Ranson. So it's still the name of that missionary's name. It's a village called on his name. So it's on my ID card also, and it's still the same name, the village of Mr. Ranson.
And I'd just like to add something to that too. It's also one of the only, I think one of three villages in all of Pakistan that does not have a mosque. It only has a church. Yeah. And so it's very set apart in that way.
Yeah. Mr. Ranson is in heaven, but he did a great job here. So I'm grateful. Anyone else? Yes, sister.
How do you say Jesus in your native language? What is your native language?
Urdu. Urdu is a national language in Pakistan. U-R-D-U.
If you want to Americanize it, you can call it Urdu.
Then my mother language is a Punjabi, and then the mission place, they speak tribal languages. Sindhi also, one of them. So Sindhi and then English. I'm learning fourth. English is my fourth, and I'm not very good with English, but trying to learn. it says Yesu in Urdu, Yesu. Yeah. If there is no any question, I will give it back to brother. Thank you so much for having us.